Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You ready to receive from the Word this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, many times, you know, we think, well, you know, it's rough hearing some of this stuff. Tough, and I don't understand some of it. You know, and all He wants to do is get in on your life where you can start making changes in your life to look to Him and depend on Him more than ever before. Because, you know, this that you're living in right now is not going to last forever.
That's right.
And one way or the other, it's not going to last forever. Either you're going to go to heaven before it comes to an end and He comes after His church, or you're, you know, one or the other. It's just not going to last forever. You might as well accept that, you know. And get ready for it, because one of these days, you know, just like me asking all of you to worship God for a few minutes. You know, only three or four done it. Only three or four or five lifted their hands and began to worship Him. You know, in heaven, you're going to be worshiping Him a lot. You're going to be lifting your hands a lot. You know, why not get used to it and get in the habit of it here on earth?
Amen.
Besides that, you might begin to see some changes in your life. You might begin to see some changes in your family's life just from the simple fact of lifting your hands and beginning to call on His name and loving on Him.
Amen.
That may be all that it takes.
Hallelujah.
You know, and yesterday morning, Pastor Shelley began to talk to you about getting in the Word of God. The Word of God is food for your life.
Amen.
That's the real food. We eat to keep our natural bodies going. But the real food and the real life is in the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just, you know, there's so much Word there, I can't even decide where to preach most of the time. You know, because it's all good.
Amen.
All of it's good. Hallelujah. And I see life everywhere I look. I see, you know, I see personal relationship and fellowship with Him. Maybe you see something else when you look in the Old Testament or the New Testament. But I tell you what I see life, I see fellowship, I see relationship with Him. That's how He's opened my eyes to see it, and He'll open your eyes the same way. All you have to do is ask Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. So if there was one thing I could do this morning, it would be to get inside you and put in you a desire to know Him more than ever before. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I have to think about the electric bill. Well, He is your source to the electric bill. You don't understand, Pastor. I got to get food for the table, for the kids. I don't have time to seek out God. You don't have time not to seek out God. That's just the way it is. All you have to do is look around you and see what's happening in this world to know that you don't have a lot of time left when you really get down to it. So if I could do one thing this morning, it would be to get inside you and put in you, plant in you a seed of desire to know Him more than ever before. Because He is your source. He's your answer to any problem. He's your answer to any challenge. He's your answer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the great I Am. He is the one. Religion is not your answer. Church membership is not your answer. Church attendance is really not your answer. All that does is help. All that does is keep you on the right track from week to week, from Sunday to Sunday, or Wednesday to Wednesday. It keeps you on the right track and going that you may seek out God for yourself. That's why we call it a personal relationship. Because one-on-one with God, you seek Him out and get to know Him. Personal relationship. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to Psalms chapter 1. That's where we started at last night, but we didn't get very far. Actually, we didn't even get started. The Holy Spirit had other things on His mind, so you know. But I believe today we're gonna be there. I believe that's where He wants to be today. He was reaching out last night, trying to change some things in people's heart. You know, we talked about having a heart change. You know, well, I got a good heart, Pastor. You know, I may not do everything right, and I may not go to church, you know, but I got a good heart, you know, and I do good things for people. Hey, your heart is corrupt.
That's right.
If you don't do the things that God says in His Word and do those things and apply them to your life and develop that relationship, I can tell you right now, you got some problems in your heart. If you make decisions that are contrary to the Word of God, you got some problems in your heart.
Yeah.
You need a heart change. You might as well just admit it. Just face it right now. Because if you don't face it now, you'll have to face it down the road. That's just the way it is. I've seen too many people and too many believers, you know, make decisions based on their own natural desires instead of seeking out God. And, you know, and one of the examples I used last night, and I like to use, is the lady that made a decision to go to California and get out of God's will and out of seeking God and what God was doing in her life, all because she wanted a husband. California was her answer. Well, she got what she wanted. But God didn't get His way. See? Because of what was in her heart. She said, I want a husband. Is that wrong? I said, no, it's not wrong to want a husband. It's just wrong how you're going about it. Well, what is wrong with me? Well, for one thing, you got lust following you around in your life. And the second thing is your heart's corrupt.
Right. Amen.
Your heart's not right with God. You need to repent and get back on track with Him. And focus in on Him. Seek Him for the answer. Hey, He'll provide the wife. He'll provide the husband. He'll provide anything that you desire as long as it's in line with His Word if you put Him first.
That's right.
He needs to be first in your family's life. He needs to be first in your marriage. He needs to be first in your job. Every part of your life, you need to put Him first.
Amen.
Because you'll get the correct answer if you put Him first. You'll get the right track. You'll be on the right track if you put Him first. But you've got to seek Him out and find Him. You know, He's there waiting. He's not hard to find. Most of the time, though, we want to go the opposite direction because of natural things, things of this world. You know, the Word of God we seen last night, the Word of God said you can't serve both mammon and God.
Right.
You got to make a decision. You can't serve them both. The Word also says that bitter water and sweet water can't flow from the same well.
Right.
It's either bitter or it's sweet. Can't be both. It's one or the other. So you have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to serve God? Am I going to seek Him out? Am I going to put Him in the center of my family? Am I going to put Him in the center of my marriage, in the center of my job, or am I not?
Amen.
I mean, you know, most Christians, you can't tell out when they get outside the church building, you can't even tell that they know God. It's true. You can't once they get outside the four walls of the church. You can't even tell that they know anything about God. They blend in with the rest of the world. Well, we're to be out in the world. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. But how else is somebody else going to get to know God if they don't see you as the example? If you're cussing and carrying on like the rest of them out in the world, how are they going to know that you know God? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for those two amens. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners. That means walks down the same way the sinners walk. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means his word. His delight is in the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the word of God. And in his word, he meditates day and night. That means that you take the word of God in and you dwell upon that word day and night with everything within you. You carry on your job, you do your job, you go to work. Because if you don't go to work, it says a lazy man doesn't eat. So you go to work. That is the word. That is the word. That's part of the word. A lazy man doesn't eat. So you take the word of God in, you meditate on it. In your meditation time, in your time of seeking God, you meditate on the word of God, and you keep that in your heart. You keep that before you all the time. My God shall supply all of my needs. I'm at work doing my job, and all the time rolling around in me is, my God shall supply all of my needs. You meditate on that word day and night. You take it in. You keep it before you. My God shall supply all of my needs. Whatever your need is, He's going to supply it. Well, I need a husband. I need a wife. Well, He's not going to give you somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. You know, He's going to supply what's right for you. But you've got to keep Him in the center. Well, one way to do that is keep this Word centered in on your life. Keep it before you all the time, regardless of what your situation is. Find your situation in the Word of God. Amen. Find your answer in the Word of God. And keep that Word. Take it to you. It's yours personally. Take it to you and keep it before you day and night. Meditate on it. Dwell upon it. Let it dwell in you and you dwell upon it day and night. No matter what you're doing or where you're at. You want to change your life? That word can change your life.
Amen. Right.
I need a change. I get emails and phone calls all the time. I need this changed or I need that changed. Your answer's in the Word of God. He is your answer. He is the Word. And He's your answer. And He'll change that in your life. He'll change your situation. Don't give up. Go to Him. Go to Him. Go to God. He'll change your situation. Doesn't matter how drastic it is. Doesn't matter how great your need is. He will meet that need. He will change your situation if you go to Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His right standing in the kingdom. Seek that out first, and all will be added unto you. If you could pick out a set of verses in the Bible, if I was to tell you a set of verses, and that you know, there's a lot in there, but let's just say one. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That would be a good one to dwell on day and night. Day and night. But you know what you got to do? You got to do what the verse says. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6:30 or 31, I believe. Seek first the kingdom of God. So anyhow, goes on here and he says, in His word He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now how many seen a tree planted by the water? by a running stream. I know you don't have many running streams out here, but take my word for it. It grows good. Of course, you know, yeah, you have to know about a tree and you have to know about running water, but, you know, I can tell you from first-hand knowledge that a tree planted by a running stream, a clear water stream, a good stream, grows. It grows. He shall be like a tree. Who shall be like a tree planted by the water? One who meditates on the word day and night. You need to walk in the counsel of the godly. Where does that start at? In the Word of God. That's where it starts. That's where it starts, that's where it ends, and that's everything in between. You need to dwell upon the Word of God. You need to meditate on it. It needs to become a part of you. He shall be like a tree planted by the river, running water. It grows, it stays green, it becomes fruitful. Don't you want to be fruitful while you're here on earth? Don't you want to leave something here on earth that people know about, and when you get to heaven, it meets you there?
Amen.
That's called souls. That's called other lives. Getting to heaven because you became fruitful and done what you needed to do here on earth that you could produce fruit. Well, sometimes, you know, we I'm sure you know that, you know, to, for an apple tree to produce apples, it has to be pruned. It has to be changed. It can't stay the same every year. You have to prune that tree. You have to prune that grapevine. Or it won't produce fruit if you don't. And so it can't stay the same. In fact, you know, I've seen them prune apple trees. When I was a kid growing up, I seen them prune apple trees in orchards, and it would be nothing but a nub sticking up out there. When, during pruning season, they would prune that apple tree back. There wasn't nothing but a nub. You think, well, how's that going to live, let alone produce fruit? It's not even going to live. But Lord and behold, there it did. It grew, produced fruit, more than it did the year before because it was pruned. That's the only way you're going to begin to produce fruit is if you make changes in your life, changes in your heart. Some of you are being deceived. You think it's okay with what you're doing right now. It's not okay. You've got to make changes in your life to produce fruit. Are you going to go to heaven with nothing laid up to your account? Oh, you might make it to heaven, you know, as long as you know the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven. But how about go to heaven with some fruit laid up to your account? How about that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's take it on a little bit farther. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Well, we just talked about that. Whose leaf also shall not wither. How many today, be honest with yourselves, how many today in one part of your life or the other feel withered? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Is there a part of your life that you feel short in, feel withered? Well, then something's wrong. Something's wrong in that area of your life. You need to make a change in that area of your life that you don't feel withered all the time. That you grow green growth and you produce fruit. We've all got limbs on our lives that need change, that need pruning. Pruning back. Hey, join the crowd. You think just because I'm a preacher and I preach everywhere and stuff that I don't have the same challenges as you? I have to deal with the same stuff. I have to make changes in my life. I have to prune limbs off also. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
He just called me to preach this word. But I still have to believe things in. I have to make sure that the bills are paid. I have to do all the same things that you have to do. I may live in a different place than you live, locale-wise, a different place than you live in. But it's still the same. You know, when I go to Peru and preach over there, they think that all Americans, they don't know what it's like to have to believe in things and make sure the family's fed and the bills are paid. They think it's different here in the United States. And I keep telling them, we got the same devil. The same devil that affects them and goes after them goes after us. It's the same devil. You don't understand. Just because we're Americans and we got a little bit more money over here doesn't make it any easier. I had an email the other day. A preacher wrote me and said, I need some money. You know, I made a bad business decision. I got to get out of this business. Would you pray with me and help me? Actually, usually when I get a request like that, if I read between the lines, it's not exactly prayer being asked for, you know. You know, and if God speaks to me, I'll do what I need to do monetarily wise. If he doesn't, there's a reason he doesn't want me to, and I don't do it. But you know, it was, you know, times are tough over here. Pastor, this is how he put it. Pastor, you don't understand. Gasoline is high over here. He had gotten a taxi business at the wrong time. Gasoline is high over here. And you know, I haven't answered the email yet. If I'd have answered it right away, I'd have answered it wrong, because I'd have said, join the crowd. But, you know, that wouldn't have been right, because he was in dire straits. You know, and I'm going to keep praying and might even do something here before it's over with. But in the natural. But what I'm saying is, it's the same thing. We all face the same thing. Amen. You're my brethren. You're my sisters. We all face the same thing. We're in this together. But we have a God that can carry us through and above it. We all have the same God. We may fight the same devil, but we have the same answer. He is the answer. We all have to do the same thing. We all have to make changes in our life. Now, he has to make a change in his life, not to be just going off and getting in businesses like that without knowing what he's doing. Doesn't matter whether he's in Peru or in the United States. He still has to seek out God, make sure he has the answer before he makes that decision to do something like that, see? Well, it's the same here. We have to do the same thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes those things we have to prune off are the very things that are keeping us away from God. Keeping us from being able to seek him out. You know, if you cover yourself up, you know, we have to work. We have to do our jobs and put food on the table. But if we cover ourselves up with work 24 hours a day because we wanted to add another car, another new car payment, or another new house payment, a bigger house payment, if we do things like that and then we don't have time or we're out of energy where we don't feel like praying, or seeking God, then what have we gained? See. Maybe we need to trim the budget just a little bit, readjust the car payments, not have that big new car payment or whatever it takes in order to be able to work less and have time to seek out God. Thank you, Barrett, for that amen. I appreciate that. Now listen to this. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What is? The man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. You want to prosper? Start walking in the counsel of the godly. Start walking in this Word. Start making the Bible a part of your family. Start making it a part of your personal life. You want to prosper in every part of your life? That's what it's going to take. You know, when I mention the word prosper, the first thing you think of is money. Well, that's part of it. I understand that. But what about your peace of mind? Don't you want to prosper in your mind? What about prospering in your body? What about prospering in good health? What about prospering in your body, your mind, other places besides money? See, it's all the same. The answer is the same also. God and His Word, seeking out His Word, seeking out Him. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to walk in the counsel of His Word. If I have a situation, what does His Word say about me? If I have a challenge in my family or in my life, what does His Word say about it? People will come to me and they'll want counseling about stuff. Well, I don't have anything besides the Bible. If they come to me, you know, they come wanting to hear something else, some supernatural solution. You know, they want me to lay hands on them and it'll all go away. Well, sometimes in certain circumstances, you know, that does help. Maybe they need to, that confusion broke off of them where they can hear God clearly. Well, then in that case, yeah, you know, that's going to help. But let me tell you something. The only thing I have to counsel you out of is the Word of God. That's the answer. It's the Word of God. You need to know something? It's in the Word of God. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, we got to learn to start trusting in Him. All of our trust should be up on Him. And sometimes when you're in the midst of all those circumstances and all those challenges and all that upheaval, it's hard to trust in God. I understand that. But listen, right now is the time to start. You know, most people, the first thing when something begins to happen to their body or, you know, or their finances, they run to God. Well, good. It's better to run to God than to run away from Him. But let me tell you something. How about trusting in God? How about starting to trust in God while things are going good? People put God on the back shelf when things are going good. I got a good job. I got good pay. We bought a new car, a new pickup the other day. Oh, it's a nice one, a nice new Tacoma. It's really nice, you know, all decked out, you know, and God goes on the back shelf. When things are going good, and more than the first crisis, I can't make the Tacoma payment. I'm behind on my Tacoma payments. Next thing, you know, well, we'll run to God, you know. Well, it's better to run to God than to run away from Him. So I'm glad you do that. But how about starting to trust in Him while things are good? Well, I'm going to vote for the right presidential candidate, and that'll change things. Oh, so you're going to vote with your pocketbook and take the chance of having blood on your hands. What do you mean? Well, listen, somebody that believes and partial birth abortions shouldn't be in the White House. That's called murder. You want to vote for somebody that commits murder, you're going to stand before God with blood on your hands because as a believer, you knew not to. You knew not to. And I fear that there's going to be believers throughout this land with blood on their hands because they voted with their pocketbook instead of with the Word of God. You're going to tell me how to vote? No, I'm just telling you the truth. You decide. 2008, you decide. Hey, and don't be deceived. I get amused at a lot of things. I think some things are pathetic. You know, having a get-together at Brokeback Mountain. I'm sorry, Saddleback Mountain. You know, and bring them all together to decide whether we should vote for a murderer or not. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, lean not, just trust in Him. I know sometimes it's hard and you don't understand why you should, but you got to trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Put God first. Lift Him up. Make Him the centerpiece of your life. Whether you're in this church building or out there in the world, make Him the centerpiece.
Amen.
Trust in Him. He will bring you through. Well, they're going to talk about me. If I talk about God, they'll talk about me. Hey, I know a brother up in Ulysses that goes to his job, people die, and he raises them up.
Hallelujah. Right. Thank you.
He's got all the Hispanics talking about him. He loves it.
Amen.
They come by and spray paint his car, and he just says, oh, it's the devil. You know, and he keeps going. Keeps praying for them. Keeps getting them saved on his job. Goes out to the hog farm and preaches to them. You know what? He's moved up as a leader of that particular area in what he does. Apparently somebody's seen something good. Well, that just don't line up with the Catholic Church. Who cares? We're not to do things that line up with religion. We're to do things that line up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now let's read this one more time here because I want to cap it off with this last statement. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. What did we say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust Him, and He shall direct your path. You want to know what to do or what way to go? I want to know what to do. Lord, I need to know what to do. Well, that's a good start by calling on His name.
Yeah.
That's where you should have been to begin with, was calling on His name. Don't lean to your own understanding. Quit trying to figure it out. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust in Him. He'll take you down the right path. It may not be the path that you thought it was supposed to be. More than likely, it won't be. But it'll be the path that He wants you to take. Say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have to change some things in your heart when you do that. You may have to make some changes in your life. More than likely you will. He'll start illuminating some things in your life. Well, that's not quite right. I don't need to be doing that way. I don't need to be acting that way. I shouldn't be acting that way. I shouldn't be doing that. Well, you may have to make that change in. You start seeking out God, He's going to shine the flashlight into your room. And when that light hits that dark room, the cockroaches are going to run. And you may have to stomp a few out of your life. And it may be a little bit tough because you're used to having those roaches in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I tell you what, this is good stuff. This stuff will change your life if you'll If you'll focus on it and listen to it, it'll change your life. It won't be the same for you in the future. Well, you know, I've heard about you. And I know when I start doing what you say to do, the devil's going to come after me. He's going to come after you anyhow. You walked through this building today, he decided he was going to come after you. You sit out there in the world, and he already had you. You don't know it, but he had you. You walk through this building, you say, I got to do something about that because this may later turn into a problem. It wasn't because of me. It was because of a decision that you make to follow God. You can follow the devil or follow God. You have a choice. I would advise you to follow God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If my piano player can hear me, please enter the room. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He'll guide your way to go because you sought him out. You put him first. All things will be added unto you when you put him first. I didn't say you wouldn't go through things. People say, well, you know, so if God's my answer, if I turn to God, then I'm not going to have to go through things. No, that's wrong. You're still going to have to go through things. But listen, you have God to go through those things with you now. You don't have to go through them without his help. You don't have to go through them without leaning on him. And he'll guide you and direct you in the way to go. Hallelujah. I love it. I just love it. Hey, I changed my life in 1985. And I haven't looked back since. And I don't plan on looking back ever. He's the only way to go. He's the answer to your problems. He's not your problem. He's your solution. He's your answer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I want you for just a moment. I want you to close your eyes and just begin to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be looking at me. Don't be looking around. Just focus on him. Just take this moment.